This is Archer of Archer.com. Today is Tuesday, December 15th, 2009. I know, I just podcasted on Sunday, some of you were saying, and I just posted a video yesterday, but I had a lot of stuff to talk about. Plus, we had things happen in the news today that I just have to make comments on. Not necessarily a talk about, but just make some comments. But I have other things I want to tell you. First off, I got Christmas cards. I got a Christmas card from Nessa and Derek from Stars and Tartans. Are Stars and Tartans or Stars and Tartan? Which one is that's terrible that I don't know. I think it's Stars and Tartan, not Stars and Tartans. Yep, it's Stars and Tartan. By the way, did you hear that last episode, episode 44, where Derek talks about his grandfather's third thumb? It was funny. Anyway, so I got a Christmas card from Derek and Nessa, and I got a Christmas card from the little Aussie battler, Scotty, and it's exactly like the one that Big Fatty described that he got from Scotty that says, Jesus is the reason for the season. And you know how I feel about that. But I appreciate the card very much, Scotty. And I got a card from Moose P. I wasn't even expecting one from him, and I got a card from Moose. So I sent them all cards in the mail, too. So thank you guys for the cards. I appreciate it very much. Let's see what else. Oh, I know. Yesterday at school, I got a CD. A kid gave me a CD, and it was full of Christmas songs. Now, here's the thing that while it was very nice and all that, blah, 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 I was a little, not upset, but surprised and taken aback because what surprises me is that these parents who sent me the CD, clearly the father, clearly the father made the CD and printed the little label and all that kind of stuff. My question was, how do they know that I'm not Jewish and that I don't celebrate Christmas? I thought that was very a bad assumption on their part. They don't know anything about me. Let alone assuming that I'm a Christian. What if they, I think that's a bad idea or, you know, a bad thing for them to assume that I'm a Christian and that I would enjoy Christmas music. Now, of course, I'm not a Christian. I'm an atheist, but I do enjoy that Christmas music. So, I mean, the CD is very nice and all, but I just think that's very odd that they don't even know anything about me, and they're just assuming, I'm saying the mother and the father, assuming that I would like Christmas music and that I celebrate Christmas. I mean, I just think that's a big assumption on their part. And the first thing I was like, said to myself was like, really? Really? You're sending a teacher a CD of Christmas music and you don't even know anything about them? So anyway, I thought that was interesting. Now, this is also the time of the year when I start to get gift cards and gifts from parents and stuff. But besides that CD, I have gotten nothing from the parents. Unlike last year where I got, $500 in gift cards and stuff. I have a feeling that next week, the 3 days before Christmas next week when we have school, that I will get something. At least maybe a card or something from some people. I don't know. We'll just have to see and find out, I'm sure something will come up. Now, I did want to just mention a couple of podcasts I was listening to. I know that some people probably don't think I listen anymore, but I actually listen to the Amarins podcast, and I look forward to the group shows because I really, at one point, I'm going to get my equipment out of the closet and set it all up again so I can join Arthur's group discussion shows, and probably in the new year I'll do that, but not right now. And plus, he's done. This was the last one for the year, he said. So, because next Thursday is Christmas Eve, and then the Thursday after that is New Year's Eve, so he probably won't be doing any group shows the rest of this year. So, what about this week, the 17th? I must have missed that. Anyway, I was listening to that when it was like a 2-hour podcast, and who all was on there? Lori Dean. Was Lori Dean on there? And Nigel, I know, showed up, and it was great hearing Nigel's voice again, and Stephen, and Brother Sinatus, but maybe it wasn't Lurie Dean. You know what? I don't remember now. Isn't that terrible? Oh, no, it wasn't Lurie Dean. It was Larkin. Larkin, that's who it was. Anyway, they were having, among many other things, they were talking about why some of us stopped podcasting, and they were specifically mentioning Archer and why I stopped doing my group shows, and they were speculating on that kind of thing. Well, they pretty much, I think it was Brother Sinatus who actually hit it right on the head. You know, I had gotten all that new equipment, and Daniel helped me set it up, and I could not get rid of these noises and was being very frustrated with the equipment, and I just finally said, fuck it, this equipment is driving me crazy, I'm not going to use it anymore. You know, and screw the fact that people can't hear, you know, the noises that we play on the Skype call or whatever. I was just like, fuck this, it's just not worth it for my frustration level every week to try to work so hard to get good sound, and something every time was fucking it up, so I just said, screw it. No more. And if I were to ever go back to group shows, I would just use the simple record a Skype call with Audio Hijack Pro and leave it at that. I won't try to reroute the sound through a separate audio card and then back through the mixer and then through the headphone. I mean, that was so freaking complicated. As much as I love Daniel Brewer, and I miss his show terribly, by the way, it was too much for me. I am just not that technical enough to get it right. So just, you know, fuck it. I'm just not going to do it anymore. And that equipment is just sitting in a box doing nothing. But I do think I'm going to get it out again. Maybe not that new mixer, but my old mixer. I'll get that one out and figure out. You know, set it up again, because that worked for me for 4.5 years, something like that, 4 years of podcasting without needing anything different. So, I don't know, we'll see. I also didn't like having the stuff sitting around my office all the time. Whereas with this little iPod Nano, I can just turn it on and record a show and plug it into the iTunes, and I have the audio right there. It's extremely easy to do a podcast now, so you think I would do them more often, but no, I don't. Anyway, I just wanted to say that even though I did not call Arthur's show, or did I even leave a comment? I don't even think I left a comment saying, you know, that I really enjoyed that show, that was a great conversation, and, you know, the whole thing about quitting podcasting, the group shows, was right on. And that reminded me, too, of John Ong just did a show, and he had his 5-year podcasting anniversary. And he was talking about getting some old podcasters together to talk about podcasting and how it's changed and so forth. And John Ong, I don't even know if you listen to my show anymore. Probably not. But if you do, I am more than happy to talk with you sometime about podcasting. I know that we talked about that before, and we never did it, but coming up in April will be my 5-year podcasting anniversary. So I will be I'm behind you by like 4 months, John. 5 months, I guess it is. Yeah, because he started November 24th, I think it was. November 24th, 2004. I'm going to go to his archive. Yes. Oh, no, I'm sorry. November 5th, 2004, John Ong posted his very first podcast. And you know what? It's still there. I listened to it yesterday. 15 minutes of... And it's so funny because he's using the exact same music that he used 5 years ago. And he sounds exactly the same. And of course, right in the very first episode, he's talking about all the different equipment that he has and how he's trying different equipment stuff. So that has not changed one bit in 5 years. But you have to go back and listen to it and go to his archives and listen to that. It's a really good show. So anyway, that's enough about podcasting. Things that are going on in the news that were kind of pissing me off or, you know, of note. The first one is Joe Lieberman. Oh my God, why do we give this man as much power as we have? He basically is going to bring down the healthcare reform because he's not going to get his way. And I don't know. I just, I really don't like the man. I was really upset when Gore chose him in 2000 to be his running mate, because I'm thinking, oh no, he is too moderate. That's not going to work. Plus, he's Jewish, and people don't vote for, would probably never at that time back in 2000 vote for a Jewish president, and you know whatever. And I have never liked Joe Lieberman. Never liked him. And even with the problems he's caused in the Senate now, I don't like him. I don't think I will ever like him. I think he should go back to the Republican side and leave us alone. Granted, he's an independent now, I guess, but he says he's not going to vote for the health care bill in its form right now. And he's not the only one who had support for the health care bill at one time that has given up, because Olympia Snowe even said this afternoon that in its current form, she could not vote for the health care reform bill. So she's not the only one. But I say, you know what? Stop giving Lieberman any kind of power anymore. He's done enough to screw us multiple times when it comes to Democratic decisions, and especially when he jumped ship from the Republicans to become an independent. He has not helped us at all. So I say fuck him and let him go. Let him go the way of the dinosaur. I was very, very pleased with what Howard Dean was saying. That Howard Dean, because, you know, I love Howard Dean. I was ready to vote for him back in, when was it? Was that 2000 or was that 2004? I don't remember. Maybe, no, it has to be 2004 because I went to a rally for him in 2004. And, yeah. Anyway, I was pleased to hear him say that at this point he thinks the whole Senate bill should be scrapped and start over again, because he is actually from the far left, the left wing of the party, and he doesn't think it does enough for the American people and for people who are without insurance. So in one way, I'm very pleased that he is, you know, being honest and standing up saying, this is bullshit. You guys have, you know, taken so much out of the bill, it doesn't resemble anything that we started out to create for the American people, and you're, you know, screwing yourselves in the long run, because basically it has like three things left in it that are the main things, and that's the pre-existing conditions. There was two other things, I can't think of what they are now. Anyway, the health care bill is being watered down to please too many people and to try to get too many of those conservative people and moderate Democrats on the side of voting, whereas at the same time you're alienating your progressive liberals on the very left, and they don't think it's enough. So anyway, I know this all started with Lieberman, but my point is that I agree with Howard Dean that we've taken so much out of it that it doesn't resemble the bill that we intended it to be in the first place, and fuck Joe Lieberman. That's just my opinion. Others may feel differently about it, but that's the way I feel. Now, the other thing I saw was, I saw this thing, the Supreme Court's going to take up a case about texting, and I read the article about this. It was on the Huffington Post, and I'll just read a brief bit about this in case you did not see the story. It says, the Supreme Court said Monday it will decide how much privacy workers have when they send text messages from an employer's accounts. The justices intervened in a case from Ontario, California, where three police officers and another employee complained that the department improperly snooped on their electronic exchanges, including many that were said to be sexually explicit. While the case involves government workers, the decision could have broader privacy implications. Many employers tell workers there is no guarantee of privacy in anything sent over their company or government-provided computers, cell phones, or pages. Ontario has a similar policy, but a police official also informally told officers that no one would audit their text messages use if the officers personally paid for charges above a monthly allowance. The 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco said the informal policy was enough to give the officers a reasonable expectation of privacy in their text message and establish that their constitutional rights had been violated. And then it goes on and on. But I just have two things. At first, I was like, absolutely not. You should not assume privacy when you are using government or an employer's connection to the internet, or even the devices that they provide you for your job. Absolutely not. If they say do not text or do not do personal things on, you know, government or job-related equipment, period, and you do, then I would say you should get fired or reprimanded or whatever the case may be. Absolutely do not believe in privacy of any kind through your work. However, just as the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco found that this guy, this police officer or this police official told them that don't worry, there would be no audit of their text messages use if the officers paid for the charges above a monthly allowance. Now let's say that they did not go over the monthly allowance, but they still sent personal texts or whatever. Would that apply? I don't know. But since they were told that they would not be audited, I don't think they should be given any reprimand or firing or whatever happened to them because of it. I think that is absolutely justification for them to use it for personal use. I don't happen to agree with that. When I'm at work and I'm using a work computer or even a work connection, I do nothing of my private stuff, my personal stuff at work, because I know that everything is recorded. Every website you go to, every email message you send, it's all sitting somewhere on a server that can be easily gotten. Even here, the thing is, because even if I try to send my personal email through their connection, it's somewhere that can be found, and they can use that against you. So I don't do any private, personal email, texting, tweeting, anything from work. I don't want them to have any reason to fire me or whatever. I don't want that to happen. Now, the same thing goes, too, with just general privacy. Not that now I'm getting off track of this Supreme Court case, but just in general, for example, on the internet alone, I do very, very little with my real name. Whatever I do with my real name, I have no problem standing behind. So, and I know that some of you know what my real name is, and you know what I do with my real name. However, there's nothing that I would be upset about if someone found it with my real name attached to it. I guess that's what I can say. So anyway, about the Supreme Court case, I'm glad that the Supreme Court is going to take this case up, and I actually think that they're going to, I mean, if you look at it rationally and you don't, I think that they would make a reasonable decision saying, no, these people were given a reassurance from a police official saying that this would not happen, and then it did happen, and therefore they should not be reprimanded or fired or whatever because of it, because they were already given it. So I think any rational person would agree with that. Now, moving on to other things. I'm sure you heard in the news today, this being Tuesday, that Oral Roberts died today at the age of 91. He was that weird crackpot evangelical priest minister, whatever they call themselves, who started out in tent revivals and, built that multi-million-dollar evangelical network and all that shit. Actually, if I read this on the Washington Post, Oral Roberts, who helped pioneer TV evangelism in the 1950s and used the power of the new medium and his message of God's healing power to build a multi-million-dollar ministry and a university that bears his name, died Tuesday. He was 91. He died of complications of pneumonia in Newport Beach, California, according to a spokesman. He was hospitalized after a fall on Saturday. Well, you would think a man who had such connections to God would have been fixed from the fall or healed from pneumonia. Why should I believe any different that he would not be healed if he had such a connection to God? Remember that one time, I think it was in the 80s, where he said, if I don't get $10 million in donations, God's going to bring me home. Do you remember that? That was bullshit, of course. All he was asking for was more money to run his crazy evangelical crap, and I can't even believe he's got a university named after him. And well, of course, it's in Oklahoma, so you know what does that mean? Nothing. I believe it's in Oklahoma. I think that's right. Anyway, the fucker's dead. Good, you know, good thing he's dead. Yeah, the Oral Roberts University is in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Where was that thing they were talking about? Oh, yeah. Roberts' ministry hit rocky times in the 1980s. There was controversy over his City of Faith Medical Center, a $250 million investment that eventually folded. Ha-ha. And Roberts was widely ridiculed when he retreated to his prayer tower and proclaimed that God would call him home if he failed to meet a fundraising goal of $8 million. Excuse me, I said 10. You know, another crackpot. Just another crackpot, scam artist taking money from old people. Glad he's dead. Glad he is dead. And I, you know, if you're a Christian person and you like him, that's fine. But you know me, I have my opinions, and my opinion is glad the fucker's dead. Period. On to greater things. Today, the D.C. City Council voted for the second time to approve gay marriage. Yay! Now, what happens now is it goes to 30 days in the House, I think it is. Let me read this. The D.C. City Council gave final approval Tuesday to a bill to legalize same-sex marriage, setting off a wave of excitement in the gay community, even as opponents vow to continue the fight on Capitol Hill. The bill approved by a vote of 11-2 will now go to Mayor Adrian Fenty, who is expected to sign it before Christmas. The bill will then become law in the spring if it survives a 30-day legislative review period. Excuse me. Of course, NOM, the National Organization of Marriage, with that freak Maggie Gallagher, have already vowed to overturn it or something like that. I mean, oh God, I hate that woman. Anyway, so yay for DC, and I have a feeling that by spring, we will be able to get married in DC, and I might have to, reconsider moving to DC in time. But anyway, I'm very pleased with that. Now, oh my gosh, I have been rattling on very long now, so I'm going to have to stop this. But aren't you pleased with this length of this podcast? I mean, this is like old times. I'm rattling on about my opinions and reading articles and shit and going crazy. So I hope you enjoyed this one. And that's all I have for today. I'm thinking I might try to come back Thursday night and talk some more. But we'll see. I'm not so sure. Anyway, hope you guys had a great Tuesday. And I hope you have a great Wednesday tomorrow. And until next time, boys and girls, bye.